I'm Regan Brandt, and this is the Insurance Chatter. What is the insurance industry talking about? What problems are InsurTech solving? What trends are agents, brokers, underwriters, and executives thinking about? Every week, I sit down with a different person from across the insurance industry to discuss what's happening in their niche markets. I want to give you a behind-the-scenes look at risk, technology, data, and culture within one of the most exciting business sectors. Follow along to get pumped and see where the insurance industry is headed. Today, I'm sitting down with Peter McDonald, who has been part of the insurance industry since birth. His father started his own agency, and he quickly became fascinated with all things insurance. After graduating from Wheaton College in 2010 and traveling around the world, he officially joined forces with his father to help grow their family business. It was at this point that Peter began meeting with other successful Marshberry agencies and learning about their growth strategies. He gained valuable insights into the industry and sparked his interest into creating tools that could empower independent agents to work more efficiently. In 2019, he co-founded WonderWrite, knowing there had to be a better way for insurance agents to conduct business. He's been head down in the grind ever since. Before we get started, he's going to set the stage with his plate song, To Life.
You know, I think recently, maybe Let's Get Down to Business by Tiesto. I mean, it's a fun one. Maybe not necessarily the one that starts the crowd, but it's definitely a fun jam.
Well, I know when I met you, obviously, we were kind of in similar stages with young kids and stuff. Give us a little bit of a background on you.
Sure. So I live just south of Boston, Cape Cod, so kind of surrounded by water. And naturally, as a result, like love to be swimming, like boating, sailing, walking the beach, kind of my favorite activities. We have a nice bike path. I'm a huge cyclist and walker.
The kiddos, are they cycling with you?
I have lots of scooters and bicycles and balance bikes and bike trailers. So nice. 100%. You know, every Saturday morning, not uncommon for us to hit the bike path, because we live right next to it, and bike a few miles to the local beach.
That's awesome.
We like to bike down there and maybe be in the water by 9 a.m. Before the crowds come, and then kind of get back before lunch so we can still have the rest of our day. It's a pretty good lifestyle.
Are you still nap trapped? I forget how young your kids are.
So they're 3 and 5. Okay. And I think my 3-year-old sometimes take a nap.
Yeah.
It really depends. My 5-year-old takes naps if she's gone at it really hard. But
Donuts on the bike trail, you know, she's cashing out at noon then. So
definitely the first couple of years, like I have the back seat of my bike, I have like one of those, like, I don't know, back seat for the bike, for the kids. And definitely on the way back from the beach last year and the year before, my youngest would fall asleep every time, like clockwork. And I actually had to like attach her helmet to the back of the seat so that it wouldn't like fall forward all the time.
Like someone's like, is there actually a kid back there? I think most people don't grow up thinking they're going to be insurance. I think that's a little different for you because I believe you had a family business in it, but tell us a little bit on how you got started in the insurance industry and what you're doing today.
Yeah. So when I graduated college, degree in math, I basically bought a one-way ticket and traveled around the world on a super shoestring budget. Ran out of money in Egypt. And I was like, hey dad, can I borrow some money to keep going? Came back in the beginning of 2011 and really was thinking maybe I'll just do adventure tourism. I had a lot of fun doing that when I was working abroad, but ended up working at the family business for a little bit. And I met some of the best agency owners that I'd ever met through Marshberry. And I think one of them at the time was like, you're thinking of getting a master's degree in engineering? Like, screw that. Go work for your dad. You got a master's degree in business working for your dad. And he invited me down to his agency, met some awesome salespeople who really kind of convinced me to join the business. And I figured, you know what? I'll give it a shot. I'll give it 6 months to a year and see how things go. And so I guess 11 years, you know, in now, still in the business.
Oh, wait, but you're not working with the insurance agency anymore, right?
I meant still in the insurance business. But I worked at the family agency for 7 years.
Okay.
And then, you know, loved working with my dad. He is awesome. He's just a great person. And I kind of felt a little guilty, Regan. Like I was like, I can't leave my dad. But in my heart, I always knew that I had to do something, for me at least, more than just selling the next insurance policy.
Yep.
more than convincing somebody to fire their high school, you know, friend or golfing buddy and hiring me, because I could find a gap in coverage.
Yeah.
And the pain point that I knew was just like, you know, being a younger person in the business, like, this isn't the way every other technology in my life works. I need to build this. And I had the background from playing video games and being a math major and kind of self-taught developer. Like, I think I can build something here. So had a chance to go to business school and use that as my kind of exit from the family business. Although,
okay. And that was like 2017, 18.
Exactly. 2017. Okay. Yeah.
And that's where you met your co-founder, right? I'm, this is all coming back to me. I had a few too many IPAs and, you know, I'm like, wait, what did you tell me when we met? So
yeah. Maybe a zombie burger.
Yeah, exactly. I was at Zombie Burger, so.
I actually never went to Zombie Burger, but everyone's talking about Zombie Burger. My co-founder's been there, but not me.
See, I think you just didn't get the invite. You might not have been cool enough with the cohort. We were all going to Zombie Burger without you, so.
Yeah, either that or my co-founder and I split time between Iowa. And then I remember it was like COVID was happening, and I was like, I don't think we're going there in person anymore. And so you have to like stop the whole.
Like, this is actually a real thing. I don't know if the Midwest has heard this is a real thing yet, but we know in Boston it is a real thing, so I'm not going to be flying to you guys.
That was like literally the conversation where I think we told John Jacobin, who's awesome, we're like, hey, we're gonna not show up in person anymore, and he's just like, guys, like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, selected for the cohort, it's happening in person, and we're like, you can't do that anymore. Anyway, no, I don't even know where we were talking about Zombie Burger, IPAs, co-founder. Met my co-founder first day of business school. Okay. I had to like backtrack there. And like everybody that I met, I was just, you know, I'm a curious person and also excited, and was talking about what I was doing and the ideas that I had. And I think going to business school, I made it my mission to like launch this business or join a different startup. And so like many others, met him, chatted with him. We spent a lot of time together, traveling across the country to different like business plan competitions, and connected on so many levels. And so when we finished in 2019, we were like, we have to do this full time. We have to give it a shot.
That's awesome. We met at the beginning of the pandemic. You guys are a startup trying to launch this. How did the pandemic affect you guys?
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic was weird, right? In a lot of ways, when you think about supply chain whiplash, like the price of oil totally tanked, right? Like it was for free. Like you could get paid to take oil. And now it's like gone way up. And so you have this whiplash in every single industry. And I think when you look at the investment space, when COVID hit, all the investors were wanting to make sure they take care of their portfolio companies. And then it was like that kind of put a pause on things. And I think what happened after that was like, there was just this like whiplash of investment activity happening after the beginning of COVID. How that impacted us is we were going through TechStars, which is another accelerator, kind of like broker tech, but it's industry agnostic. And we were just about to like do demo day. And I remember I was one of the ones that was like, hey guys, can we please, let's just announce early ahead of time that we're not going to have demo day in person in front of 1,000 people. Cause like, no, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, no one's going to show up.
Yeah.
And I remember one of my other founders of a company was like, hey, I didn't sign up to do TechStars like without demo day. And I was like, hey man, none of us signed up for like a global pandemic.
Exactly.
So it was, and listen, like he's a good friend of mine. But so I think like how it impacted us was we're like putting our entire careers on hold to like build this company and take a huge risk. We get into TechStars and broker tech, and then all of a sudden the whole world's thrown on its head. We weren't paying ourselves a salary. I think the first paycheck we took was like the same week that it was like early in March. It was like the same week that like people started to get laid off. And I felt a little guilty, like, gosh, like here I am just kind of raised some early friends and family money to do this thing. And I'm like getting paid for once. I remember calling my brother who works with us, he's about to quit. And I called him, I'm like, hey, I know you're going to quit today. Like, don't quit, like keep your job. Cause he was working with us on the side. And then I called my wife who, was going to quit that week. Cause we decided that we would let me be focused full time. And, she's like, I was calling her and texting her and she didn't answer. And I called her later in the day, or she called me back. She's like, hey, what's going on? I was like, hey, like you didn't quit your job yet, did you? And she's like, yeah, I just spent like 2 hours with my boss. I'm like telling him that I'm quitting and I absolutely have to do it, even though I don't want to and whatever. And I said, hey, maybe you want to keep your job for now. Cause like, it's a lot of uncertainty.
Like, who knows what's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? And, so it was definitely a huge impact, but I think how my co-founder and I took it, we were like, hey, look, we just raised some early friends and family money. let's just be heads down building. Let's just put our heads down and like we'll lock ourselves in the room and just kind of code and build for, you know, the next year.
Yeah.
And kind of see where we come out at the end. And that's kind of what we did.
I do have to do a humble brag for you. Obviously, you guys just did this huge raise. Momentum's flying. I've been seeing tons of people coming onboarding staff. So one of the things, reasons why I'm doing this podcast is I think there's not a lot of young people in the insurance industry. And I think they're really missing out. There's so many opportunities. There's just so much cool stuff. Every day looks different. How are you guys kind of recruiting people? And, you know, what's kind of the Wonderite culture?
Yeah, you know, recruiting, another one of the impacts of the pandemic has just been like, you know, if 2% of the workforce leaves, that's like a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so that's just going to be a tremendous shortage. And so I think every business owner out there is hurting for awesome people. And I think where we've been focused even early on is just like looking for people that want their chance to do something big. I think there's a lot of people who are really hardworking. They're really sharp, but for whatever reason, they never got their chance.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're definitely looking for people that want their chance. And we want to give them that chance. I think we have a great story and we want to bring them into it. And then as far as like assessing people, you know, we're not necessarily, you know, poring over resumes. We want to talk with them. We want to take a quick look at their background, maybe on LinkedIn, see if they have some relevant experience. We want people, I think, ideally, at least in the earliest days, who have at least 5 years of experience doing like one thing really well. They've mastered it and they're kind of ready to level up, but haven't yet leveled up. Or maybe they have.
Yeah.
But like bring that person on and give them the keys to the kingdom and like, hey, listen, you're way better at this than I am. Like go take it and run with it. And so I think where we've been focused on as far as like how do we assess talent, kind of like, is this someone that is way better than me at something?
Yeah.
Would I personally go work for this person?
Yeah.
I think if you're like, yeah, I'd work for this person. It's like, okay, like they're probably a good fit. And yeah. Do I enjoy working with them? Just the realities of like being a small business, you know, you want to have, you know, diverse talents and opinions and everything, but you also kind of need like everyone rowing in the same direction. And you kind of have to enjoy. And I think part of why we started a business is like, want to have a great time working with people that I'm spending most of my waking hours with.
And tell us like a little bit too, you know, for people who haven't heard of Wonderite yet. So if you can give us kind of the quick and dirty of like what you guys are creating, what you're doing kind of for the industry.
Yeah. So every insurance agency out there has to deal with a massive amount of paperwork. One of the types of paperwork they have to deal with is when you apply for insurance or renew insurance, there's just a lot of questions you have to ask. How old is your roof? When did you update your heating system? Do you give your drivers for your vehicles, you know, safety training, you know, questions like that. And there's just a tremendous amount of these questions. And right now there's not really a standardized way of asking those. And there's not really a structured way of asking them. And so what ends up happening is every insurance company under the sun, creates a PDF form to ask those questions. And so agents have to fill them out and they have to fill it out next year and forever. And so that was just one of the most frustrating points of my existence as an agent, filling out all these forms just to try and help close a deal. And so Wonderite is the easiest, fastest way to collaboratively, like you as the agent together with your customer, fill that thing out on like any device, your iPhone, your tablet, you know, your laptop, your computer.
And so are you guys primarily selling the product to like the brokers right now, like retail agents or like specialty MGAs? Like, are you guys developing platforms for them or is it primarily like kind of retail agency focused?
Yeah, it's retail agency focused. We've certainly had a lot of inbound from all sorts of players, both, you know, very large carriers, MGAs, wholesalers, technology companies. I think it's just a huge problem. We're built API first. And what that means is, anything that we can do with our own software on the website, you can kind of do fundamentally at the command line and use to connect to other softwares.
That's awesome. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word InsurTech?
Well, the first thing that just came to mind right now, because you mentioned the word InsurTech, is I was like, how is Regan spelling that word? Because there's like a big debate. Is there an E or is there not an E?
Trust me.
Yeah. So I think, I may not appreciate this, but I do think that at first the word InsurTech was kind of reserved for like these verticalized MGAs that wanted to become carriers. And maybe I didn't see that 100% in the beginning, but I think I see that now. And it's almost like, hey, like this is like wave 2.0, where it's now like tools that are out there to empower agents and brokers. For me, it was always like, hey, this is a portmanteau of insurance plus technology. So it's like technology that's supporting of the insurance industry. And so I think, what does it mean big picture? Just if agents haven't experienced it yet is like, yeah, there were some companies that thought that by using technology, they could maybe disintermediate or go around the brokerages. Our thesis has always been that for economic reasons, these insurance agents, they're super plugged into their communities. They're on local boards. Like they've been around. There's for every Starbucks, there's 2.5 agencies, independent agencies. It's like, they're not going away. They're actually doing pretty well right now. So if you want to be efficient in any product that you're distributing, you should probably plug into the existing distribution channels rather than trying to recreate that. Cause you literally can't recreate 36,000 agencies on your own. Doesn't make any economic sense. Nor can you spend $1 billion or $2 billion a year sponsoring Super Bowl commercials. So I think these agents probably just need better technology. And I know that from my own experience running my family agency. There just hasn't been great tooling. In some cases, agencies get really creative. They stitch together a lot of solutions, but it's not really scalable. And you know, then your tech person leaves and you're in a world of pain. So I think that at least for us and for me, InsurTech is about empowering agencies to be better at their jobs and more efficient.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one more. When you hear insurance disruptors, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so if you go on Google, search insurance supply chain, and my article on LinkedIn comes towards the top, which basically lays out what is a supply chain. And very simply, I'll just summarize it for you. You have suppliers at the bottom who provide the raw materials to manufacturers, who provide the manufacturers combine the raw materials with their process and get it in the hands of distributors, who get it in the hands of customers. And so in the world of insurance, reinsurers supply financial capacity to insurance carriers who take that capacity, combine it with underwriting expertise and state licensing and surplus capital, and they make an insurance policy, just like a factory makes something. And then they distribute it through insurance agents. Insurance agents get it in the hand of customers. Like that's kind of like very high level what the insurance supply chain is. So when you hear the word disruption, like textbook definition is like you're actually displacing the supply chain. And so when I hear the word disruption in the insurance industry, I kind of just say like, yeah, like what you mean is like change. I think true textbook disruption means you're fundamentally changing those players. And that's really hard to do, especially in enormous industries like insurance, which is like, I think, the fourth largest industry in the country. So when I hear the word, I kind of smile and I kind of go along with it. I'm like, yeah, what the person really means is change, you know, vast change, but not necessarily a true disruption or, you know, real like reshuffling of the supply chain.
All right, last one. And this one, you know, is probably going to put you on the spot too. But if you could wake up tomorrow and you had an unlimited balance sheet, you could create any product, whether it's reinsurance, carrier, you know, another InsurTech, what would you be doing? Where do you see the biggest opportunity in the insurance industry?
In the insurance industry or any industry?
You know, since you're the startup, I'll let you do anyone. I'm going to let you go creative here on us.
No, yeah. I mean, look, I don't know. I have a lot of ideas. One of my recent ideas, let's just talk about one of my recent ideas. I don't know if this is the biggest opportunity, but I think like a stand-up bed, you know, like I have a stand-up desk and like I have a little like lever that which can go up and down to any height. And I think I was recently like doing the laundry and folding it on my bed. And I'm like, this is so uncomfortable. Like I'm hunched over. Like, why am I hunched over folding my laundry? Like, why can't my bed just be like at my, you know, like where my hands are, so I could just fold and be easy. This idea was on my like idea. Like I used to have like an ideas list, and I was like, I should start keeping my ideas list because, you know, maybe in a couple of years, like I want to build something again. And so I do think like a stand up bed, you could build the technology with the existing components. Like they're out there.
Oh yeah.
And whether you need to put it all the way on the floor for kids, or you need to like raise it up to vacuum, or you want to store stuff under there. There's just a lot of interesting, maybe you could even like have a desk surface. So if you live in like the city, you can turn the bed into like a table.
I'm liking this.
And if you want to like, you know, if you're big into arts and crafts or sewing and you need like a huge workspace where it's big and flat, you can use it. If you want to make like pizza for everybody and you live in, you know, the city, again, you have the work surface. It's no longer a bed. It's now like the best kitchen island ever in your small little Manhattan apartment.
I'm going to kind of pivot to the end here, man. And give you 30 seconds. What's your 30-second elevator pitch?
Yeah, I think, look, always interested in chatting with interesting folks. If you're interested in learning more about what we do and coming to work together, would love to have a conversation. I think, like, if you know, what's the most helpful thing for Wonderite is we're looking for insurance agencies. Love working with owner operators and smaller agencies, but any and all of the above types of agencies. You know, Wonderite makes it easy to buy and renew insurance through your agency online with any device. We pull in third-party data. We make it really easy to fill in forms. So today, if you in the past week or two have filled out an Accord form or a supplemental or any type of form where you had to sign it, you had to fill it in, sign it, send it to your customer, and you're like, gosh, this is such a bane of my existence, you should probably come, you know, give us a look, give us a call. Happy to chat, happy to kind of share more.
Awesome. Awesome. When I post this, I will tag Peter's LinkedIn. I'm so honored that you came on the podcast today. I really appreciate it, man.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, Regan. Have a great week.
That is a wrap for the chatter this week. If you like what you heard here today, join us each week to stay up to date on the insurance trends, best practices, and emerging technologies that are disrupting the insurance industry.